It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. Lori Nichol just got off a roller coaster tour. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporter embarked on a dizzying tour of the state for her piece, a zippy tour of Wisconsin's 10 roller coasters. And she joins us now to recount her experiences. Lori, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
So I want to start out by saying Great America is not in Wisconsin, right? It's just right on the border, right?
Right. It's south of the Wisconsin-Illinois border in Illinois.
So you didn't go there.
That, right. We've been there. We were there too much, trust me. But we didn't do that for this story.
Okay. So this recent roller coaster tour, are there any basics that you want to tell us when it comes to riding a roller coaster?
Well, for one thing, all of these roller coasters are within a 2.5-hour driving distance of the city of Milwaukee. So if you're looking for a day trip, all of these are possible. And all of them are relatively affordable, especially Bay Beach in Green Bay. But everything else will be less than, you know, about $22 for an entry fee. So it's a good little day trip for anybody with kids or anybody who just likes this sort of thing, who wants to go check it out.
So talk to me about the Zip and Pippin, and talk to me about Bay Beach. Why is it so cheap there?
It's interesting. It's still a public beach, which means there's no entrance fee, no parking fee. You pull up, and it's a public park just like anything else. All you pay for is entrance to any ride that you choose to go on. Bay Beach is mostly a young amusement park or theme park, meaning the rides there are geared towards kids who are maybe 10 years old or younger. However, they added the Zippin' Pippin' roller coaster within the last 5 or 6 years. And that is, you know, a legitimate, real roller coaster. It still only costs $1 per ride, though, which to me, my son and I thought that was pretty amazing.
That is pretty amazing. It is a wooden roller coaster, and it is a very old roller coaster. So talk to me about how Green Bay got it here.
Well, interesting, it's not the original old roller coaster.
Oh, no.
That's almost 100 years old. Right. It couldn't be because that...
That actually makes me happy. That actually makes me feel a little safer going on it.
Well, I wish I had known it before I got on it, because I got on it thinking it was a 100-year-old creaky thing that Elvis rode. Yeah, but the history behind it is it was in Memphis, Tennessee for a long time. You know, Elvis Presley would rent out this roller coaster museum or amusement park called Libertyville, and he would ride this with his friends all the time. In fact, he was on it, you know, about a week before he passed away. So it had a lot of history, but it sat for a long time without being used and without being maintained, and that is too rough for a wooden roller coaster. What Green Bay did was buy basically the rights to the design and the history and reconstructed it to preserve that history and brought it to Green Bay. So it looks exactly like the same layout, the difference being that it's all up to code, all structurally sound. But it still has, those roller coasters are different than anything that you're going to go on in Six Flags. These are more traditional.
So talk to me about that. How are they different? How do they feel?
Well, they're rougher. but I will say, compared to the other stuff we went on, Zippin' Pippin' was pretty good. But like if you picture American Eagle, kind of that, it still has a smooth layout. Or even the Whizzer, that's that really old roller coaster that's right at the entrance of Six Flags Great America. These are older coasters, but they're still smoother rides. When you go on something like Zippin' Pippin', you're really going to feel the turns and the bumps. You're going to actually get airtime, which means you're going to come out of your seat a little bit. You're going to get shaken and rattled around a little bit. But that's part of the thrill of some of these.
Mm-hmm.
Older roller coasters, and I thought Zippin' Pippin' was a lot of it. It's scary, yes, if you're scared of heights and that sort of thing, but it was still just worth the trip going to Bay Beach.
So there are 5 coasters that call Wisconsin Dells home. One of them is a favorite of yours?
No.
No, you don't have a favorite.
We are talking about Mount Olympus now, and they have roller coasters there that are very interesting. One of them, Hades 360, is a very tall drop that goes underneath the parking lot and into it, the longest roller coaster tunnel that's in North America, I believe, and returned. The problem I had with all of Mount Olympus's roller coasters is that they're very rough. And I can talk about four of them because one is a kiddie one that we weren't allowed to go on. But rough meaning you are really shaken. Mm. You are, your head is jerking around and that sort of thing. If you are over the age of, say, 19, you might find this a little bit disruptive to your internal organs or maybe your eye sockets. I know for me, I got sick after two of them. I couldn't, and you're not necessarily going up and down and looping around like some of the crazy stuff that we see now. Roller coasters are very big and dramatic. That was not the case. This is just rough. My son, who went with me on all these, in fact, he's the reason we did the story, he said it's like being in a car accident or a paint shaker. Like if you go to Home Depot mm-hmm. and buy a gallon of paint and mix it up on that machine, that's what it feels like. They were very rough. They were fun for a lot of people, but for me, no, I didn't like them.
It's interesting to me that we build roller coasters to mimic being in a car accident.
Yeah, I think too, roller coasters really play on your fear. They started out in the 50s and 60s playing on your fears, playing on your fear of heights, playing on your fear of rolling off the tracks and tumbling off. And as technology has advanced, roller coasters have gotten bigger and more dramatic, higher climbs, steeper drops. But the safety requirements for those things have changed as well. So you'll have a harness a shoulder harness that fits over your head and clamps you down into the roller coaster. When you go on the modern one, if you go on these like at Mount Olympus or Little America or Zippin' Pippin', it's just something, it's a bar that goes over your waist. Mm. And that's the preservation of the old school type of roller coasters. You still have the fear of heights. That's one of the best things about all of these roller coasters, is that when you're up high, you don't have the shoulder harness pushing down, you know, impeding your view or anything. You can look out and see everything. And if you like that, and if you like that kind of fear, you're going to get it on all of these.
So you talked about your son. You went on this tour with your son. How old is your son?
My son is a 17-year-old senior who loves this stuff. I mean, he's thinking about getting an internship in college one day to study the mechanical engineering part of it.
That's pretty cool. Did he have a favorite of all the ones you went to?
Yeah, for him, Hades 360, as rough as it was, it had the unique component at first. Like I said, it's unreal to be parking your car in the parking lot on top of the roller coaster knowing that it's going to go underneath this long mm-hmm. tunnel. The tunnel also is a total blackout. You don't see anything, so you can't brace yourself for what's coming. You can't, you know, hold on to a curve or whatever. You can't see anything. The only thing I can equate it to is like the Elroy Sparta Trail. If you ever go biking on that, where you go through those old railroad tunnels, and you're in the middle and you can't see out either way, it's complete darkness. That's the only thing, that pitch black darkness going at 60 miles an hour, that is a unique sensation. He likes that. But in terms of just plain nostalgia, Little America was which is a different park in Marshall, Wisconsin. That was one of his favorites as well, just because they have the oldest tilt-a-whirl in the world, built in 1939. They have unique things that don't exist anywhere else in the world, like a monorail. And then they've also preserved these roller coasters that have been around for 50, 60, 70 years.
Lori Nickel is a sports reporter, actually, for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And she joined us to talk about her tour of roller coasters around the state with her 17-year-old son. Lori, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Ha, 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 ha. It's country music. It must be barbecue. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. There are some foods that cause fights. Barbecue is one of them. Is it the sauce? Is it the way the meat is cooked? Is it both? And please, please, please do not refer to smoked and barbecue as the same thing. But Wisconsin, and I'm sorry, both I and my sidekick Michael were born in Missouri. Wisconsin is not really known for barbecue. Writer and publicist Jerry Huffman is here to make the case for why Wisconsin barbecue is something we should go out of our way for. Jerry, welcome to the program.
Au contraire. Both of you. You need a Wisconsin timeout.
We need a Wisconsin timeout.
Yeah, we have got... Good morning.
Good morning.
Michael, good morning. We have got some of the best barbecue in the nation.
I have fights all the time with people
really?
Across the country about barbecue, yes. But anyway...
Let me tell you my favorite debate. Mm-hmm. Is grilling really barbecuing?
Is grilling really barbecuing? If you're not using barbecue sauce...
If you throw a burger on the grill, is that really barbecuing or not? That's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Yes. It's all in what makes you happy.
So we have food here today. We're taking your calls. We want to know what your favorite barbecue is or what your favorite smoke is or if you think that grilling is barbecuing. 800-642-1234. Ideas@WPR.org or you could tweet us at WPR Mornings. We're also taking calls from vegetarians. This is not just a meat thing.
Oh, heavens no.
You can barbecue whatever you want.
Grilled corn, mushrooms on the grill, peppers.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So give us a call. 800-642-1234. So talk to us, Jerry. What do you got here today?
Brought a lot of food.
You brought a lot of food. I want some basics on Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
How are you defining barbecue for your purposes for the piece that you wrote?
For me?
Mm-hmm.
Is it messy? Seriously. Barbecue is not the white suit and pressed linens.
Right.
If I went into a barbecue restaurant that had a linen tablecloth, I'd turn around and just leave because clearly they're not going to have barbecue. You want the plastic tablecloth. You want the napkins. Famous Dave's.
The paper towel rolls.
Oh, Famous Dave's, a barbecue chain here in Wisconsin. I think they've got 10 restaurants now. They literally used to keep an entire roll of paper towel on each table.
Mm-hmm.
That's my kind. It's about talking. It's about... having a great date with your other half. It's about making up after a fight, and you just roll up the sleeves and you just go for it.
So there's this debate about the rub, you know, sort of the vinegary rub versus the sauce.
Wet versus dry.
Wet versus dry.
Yeah.
Where do you come down on that?
I like both. I'm sorry. I get paid to write about food. Yeah. So, I mean, I really do like both. The dries are awesome, but the real key is going to be the length of time you spend cooking, I think, Gary. You don't want to hurry it. You don't want to throw it in the microwave, you know, to try to cook. That's rubber. That's not food. But if you can let it cook low and slow, I mean, literally, I was reading some of the folks last night, when they're smoking a piece of meat, be it beef, chicken, fish, whatever, they'll let it go for 10, 12 hours at a time. You get that great hickory flavor. You get mesquite flavors. Rubs are very personal. An old friend of mine, John Karcher, who used to be an anchor here in Madison, wrote me this tirade about how you make the best rub, and whatever you do, you got to tell him not to hurry. I mean, it's spices. It's vinegar in the sauce. The secret sauce is vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes the marinade great.
We're talking about people actually making their own barbecues, but you actually went to different barbecue joints, right?
And oh, yeah.
Them? Yeah.
Oh, I went out last night to pick up some samples to bring in today. The thing that overwhelmed me the most right from the get-go is the aroma when you walk into a restaurant. You go in for fine dining. You know, you don't want aroma in the restaurant. I walked into Smokey John's, a guy we're going to be chatting to a little later. Oh, my goodness, Carrie. It just, bam, hits you in the face when you come in. And red plastic tablecloths, picnic-style tables. A lot of families were there. That kind of surprised me. For some reason, I expected to see more guys, to be perfectly honest. But it was a lot of family dining that was going on in John's last night.
What else do we... What are your other favorite barbecue restaurants? Have you been to others around the state?
I'm not normally a big fan of chains, because they're chains.
I know. Chains. You said Famous Dave's, and I was like, yeah,
Famous Dave's is pretty good. I did my own totally unscientific poll on Facebook last night. Hey, guys, what do you like? Where do you go? This sort of thing. A good friend put up a note in defense of Famous Dave's. He had the perfect salmon that was there. Now, fish is dead easy to cook. It's also dead easy to screw up if you're not careful. But he just went on and on about this slice of salmon. And when I contacted the Dave's on Park Street last night, I said, hey, can I borrow a little bit of food take in so we can talk about barbecue? They love people talking about their barbecue, obviously. But they love people who want to talk about barbecue. The manager, if I remember right, her name, I don't remember her name. It's too early in the morning. But she was very passionate about the food.
Cool.
That's something I don't see.
We are passionate about barbecue. Oh. I mean, that's kind of a thing. Yeah. But, hey, one of the things that my family is most passionate about is the sides. We don't talk necessarily about where we're going to get a half slab or a full slab or pulled pork or brisket or whatever. We talk about what sides are we going to get.
The best side in town is at a restaurant where you would least expect it. The Oaks Golf Course in Cottage Grove. Hmm. I love creativity. They do barbecue from time to time. And the restaurant itself is amazingly good because I'm a golf freak from head to toe. Most restaurants, if you get a burger at a golf course, it's something wrapped in a paper towel and it looks like a hockey puck. They have a real restaurant with real chefs and their food is great. But here's what they did with the potato salad. You make potato salad, you boil the potatoes, right? They don't. They fry the potatoes.
Oh, God.
Fried potato salad. And you would, you know, and then first I was like, no thanks, I'll go with tater tots, thank you very much. But tried it the second time, my goodness gracious. It was good, it was rich, and there was just, instead of the... instead of the mush of regular potato salad, the potatoes crunched. And all they did was switch the potatoes.
Oh, that sounds awesome. And then post-barbecue dessert.
Oh, let me find it. I've got it written here in the piece.
Generally, puddings.
Puddings are
banana
good.
Banana puddings. Mm-hmm. You can only seem to get banana puddings in barbecue places. And I go to barbecue places sometimes just to get the pudding.
Bread pudding, too.
Bread pudding.
Smoke Shack in Milwaukee. One of my favorites. It's a tiny, tiny little restaurant. It's only got 47 seats. And they also have gluten-free options, which I think is pretty cool. But their desserts, I want to drive over just for their desserts. How old are you, Michael?
How old are you, Michael? 15?
24. Okay, 24. He's old enough. A bacon bourbon brownie.
He could drive us back. Yeah, he could drive
a
us
bacon
back.
Bourbon brownie. I mean, how good would that be? Mm. And their other favorite one, I got to try this, Purple Door whiskey ice cream. Grown-up desserts.
So how has barbecue changed over the last couple of decades? I mean, I know that people are more married to what their barbecue is.
They're very passionate about it.
Much more than they were when I was growing up. Although, I will say that one of the reasons I mentioned Missouri is because there is a huge rivalry between Kansas City barbecue and St. Louis barbecue, and I heard all about that when I was growing up. So. Yeah.
I think it's the recipes that they're using, because when I was just doing some research last night to refresh my mind on some of these things. Barbecue goes back into the 1500s. It was in Europe. It was in Jamaica. It was all over the Caribbean. So people had been digging a hole, building a fire, putting some sticks and throwing the meat in forever. They really have. But the variation right now is the recipes. And like my friend Karcher, I was telling you about how passionate they are about their rubs and how they've got the best rubs. And sure, you can go to Smoke Shack in Milwaukee, but mine's going to be much better. It's the recipes and how they do it. That's what I really like.
We are taking your calls on barbecue today, and we've got Nate from Spring Green. Welcome to the program, Nate.
Hey, thanks. Sam, I've got three restaurants to recommend.
Okay.
Kind of scattered around. One's in Madison on Willie Street. It's called the Zach Barbecue Joint. So, you know, that's pretty much the name says it all, but they've got good wings and good meat. Really good stuff there. Another place is in Black Earth Mesa Mania area. It's called Rookies. It's kind of a sports bar place, but they have good meat there. They make it outside in the parking lot, so that's pretty good stuff. Good brisket. I like it on the nachos there. That's one of my favorite ways to consume barbecue, is on the nachos.
Interesting.
Another good place for good barbecue nachos and barbecue in general in Dodgeville is Bob's B-Word Barbecue. They're pretty proud of that. Their motto is "So good you'll lick your napkin." So you know they've got a lot of good sauces there, and we like to go and check that out. So,
how do you know about these barbecue places?
Well, personal experience.
Try it again.
Keep going back. I like the specials at Bob's, and usually, you know, I'm going for the nachos at Rookie's with the brisket. They've got really good meat there and corned beef. You know, but I don't know if that's really barbecue, but they've got good stuff. So.
Nachos and brisket.
Yeah, brisket. You know, on the nachos.
Yeah.
As your like meat topping. You know, so it's really good.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Nate, anybody else who wants to call in and tell us what their favorite barbecue is, 800-642-1234. We are sitting here with Jerry Huffman, and behind Jerry Huffman, there is a whole array of food at 6:29 in the morning. I'm going to be eating dinner for breakfast. We will be back in a moment to hear your barbecue stories. And eat, and maybe talk to somebody who runs a barbecue joint. It's The Morning Show. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. What is your favorite barbecue joint or smokehouse in Wisconsin? What do you think makes Wisconsin barbecue unique from other states? Give us a call, 800-642-1234. You can also email us at ideas@WPR.org, or you could tweet us at WPR Mornings. Now, we're going to be talking right now to Smokey John Olson, who's the owner of Madison's Smokey John's. But before we do that, I want to ask you, Jerry, Michael keeps playing country music
mm-hmm,
here.
Mm-hmm.
Every barbecue joint I've been in, in Chicago
right.
and here, plays blues music. What's the proper music for barbecue?
Whatever floats your boat. I mean, you know about the Southern barbecue
yeah.
versus Midwestern versus, I was in Oregon a week ago, and they've got their own versions on barbecue. It really is a regional dish. You will see differences in the cooking. Where some are very passionate, you got to have sauce. If you don't have sauce, you're missing the whole boat.
Mm-hmm.
I like the dries, and sometimes you can get – the advantage of the dry is you can pick a couple different sauces.
Right.
If you want a sweeter one, if you want a hotter one. And we were talking about Bob's Barbecue out in Dodgeville in the end of last segment. They have one of the coolest things I ever heard of. They make their barbecue sauce with Sprecher root beer.
That's
Sprecher
awesome.
Root beer. It's a gourmet soda. Huge fan of it. It's a great product, but they use that. It started some years ago. The two owners used to make small batches of sauce for their friends, and they said, we should go into business. And then they did, and they said, you should make a restaurant. And they did. And then somebody said, why don't we try sauce with Sprecher root beer? The rest is history. Using my best Walter Cronkite voice.
So we are talking. We're going to bring in Smokey John Olson into this conversation. Smokey John's was just named Madison's best barbecue spot. And was featured, I believe, John, on the Food Network?
Yes, Carrie. Jerry, good morning. We were chosen by the Food Network as best barbecue in Wisconsin. Also, those honors were bestowed to us by the Travel Channel, the MSN page, named as best barbecue joint in Wisconsin, TripAdvisor, and Thrillist as well. Best in the state by all five publications. We're very proud of those honors.
So how long have you been in business?
42 years.
Oh, wow. 42 years in the same location.
No. We've been at this location for 22 years on June 22nd. But 42 years in the catering, 31 years in restaurants, and about 31 years with the sauce in the stores.
Okay, so talk to me about your sauce. What makes this so special?
All right. It's a fiery blend. It's got a fiery finish to it. But it's something that's got a real, real, real clear taste. It's got a flavor explosion.
Mm-hmm.
It's got some sweetness in the front. It's got a tremendous amount of dry spice and a tremendous amount of flavor with just a little spicy, smoky kick at the end.
You know, I just
5% of the people that try my sauce say it's the best they've ever had.
So I just tasted the beans. We have some barbecue beans here. I have a plate here full of pretty much everything that I'm going to have for breakfast. But I just tasted the beans, and I hear you when you say that there's a kick to it. It's clear, and then when you're done, there's this nice smooth kick to it.
Yeah, thank you very much. That's what we strive for. Anybody can make a food item hot by pouring hot ingredients into it. That doesn't really take any talent. What it takes is to get that tremendous flavor so when you put it in the mouth and the flavor's going in every direction, but then it lets you off. If you have to have something right there to drink and gulp down with something as you're eating it, although some people may enjoy that, the product is really too hot because you're just eating to eat because you can't taste anything.
Right. That is true. So how long do you cook your sauce? How long do you you marinate your meat? What's the process before you actually open your doors and start serving?
Oh, you're getting pretty close there, Karen. You know, I can tell you, but you
tell me your secrets, John. Tell me your secrets.
All joking beside, you know, my sauce is, you know, when I started, I used to make it in a GI can with a big metal whip. And I used to, when it got to the point that I was making about 100 gallons a week, you know, we had to take that out to have it done professionally because it was just getting to be such an awesome chore and the logistics of it was bad. But all the sauce is made down in Chicago, Illinois, and my rub is all made down in Milwaukee. We use only the finest ingredients, and our product is different from other products because we produce our own label, our own product. And the product that you eat in the restaurant is the same that you eat on our catering jobs and the same that you buy in the bottle at the store or the restaurant or your favorite meat market. And quality is number one.
Hey, John, this is Jerry. I got a question for you.
Hi, Jerry.
For amateurs like me, who like to think they know how to cook and can barbecue and grill and whatnot, what's the biggest mistake we make?
People they don't allot enough time. You know, good barbecue takes time. And if you're in a hurry, you know, you need to come down and see me to get some good barbecue that you can just eat and enjoy because it takes a lot of time. The other mistake that people make is they want to push too much heat. Too much heat at their product. I'm an old school low and slow guy. Now, grilling techniques, that's a different thing. Hot and fast, I'm down with that. But for the Q, it's low and slow.
And you're not going to tell us how long. You're not going to tell us how long you you do this. You cook.
Oh, sure. You know, I cook ribs 6 1/4 hours. And I could be a smart aleck. I could tell you I cook them till they're done, but that's an old barbecue, guys.
That's too easy, John.
Moving from there, we cook our briskets, you know, 12 hours. We cook our pork shoulders. We cook those 10 hours. You know, there's different durations for different products.
I will say that I'm tasting this right now. It is incredibly tender. The meat is incredibly tender. It kind of falls off the bone. That's important. You don't want people like, kind of gnawing at your bone, right?
Yeah, you know, there's different types of barbecue out there, and some people talk about having something that has a stiffer bite and stuff. But 99% of my customers want something that's tender and juicy. And we strive for a moist, tender, ooey-gooey, orgasmic, smoky, spicy, saucy experience. That's what our goal is.
I'm breaking into a sweat just listening to you, John. Hey, let me ask you this. Obviously, you love your restaurant. You've got a great product. But if you're going to go out for barbecue anywhere in Wisconsin other than your place, where would you send folks? Anywhere in the state.
Well, you're putting me on the spot.
You're darn right.
You know, Dave Anderson, that owned Famous Dave, a friend of mine, I see him at the National Barbecue Convention all the time. He has spun off from Famous Dave's. He's got a place called Old Southern Smokehouse that's up north in Hudson, and he's got some in Minnesota. That's a place I've been wanting to try, but with our rigorous catering season and everything, I haven't been able to get up there yet. That's one that I'd like to try.
Hayward, Rice Lake, and Hudson.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Is catering more of your business than people actually coming into the restaurant?
You know, a lot of people think that because we have a smaller dining room and a smaller storefront, but the restaurant is very, very, very busy, and our catering is, we have four types of catering. We have online catering, ordering. We have drop-off catering, pick-up-and-go packages, and we, as well as our full championship, full-service catering crew, which I still run and attend all the events. There's a balance of what we do there. We have a lot of irons in the fire with the restaurant, the takeout, the dining room, the barbecue sauce, and our four catering programs, and the competitions that we've been to. You know, Smokey John's is really full of rich history and tradition, and we've won over 200 World and Pro Barbecue Awards, and we've really earned the title of Madison's all-time barbecue king.
We have been talking to Smokey John Olson, who is the owner of Smokey John's for the last 42 years. It's good barbecue. It's sitting in front of me right now. I'm going to be posting pictures on Twitter. John, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. And I got to give a quick shout out to my great staff at Smokey John's.
Yeah.
And number one and above all, to all my great customers, because I'm nothing without my great customers. I love you, and thank you very much, and have a great day. Jerry, Kerry, thanks for having me on.
Take care, ma'am.
Thank you. We are taking your calls about your favorite barbecue in Wisconsin and beyond. 800-642-1234 is the number. You can also email ideas at WPR.org, or you could tweet us at WPR Mornings. Is Madison or Milwaukee the better barbecue place here, Jerry? He's not going to go for it.
I got to be honest, I really like John's. It's got a really kind of funky vibe to it. But some of these smaller places in Milwaukee, like the guy with the purple whiskey ice cream, what's not to love? I mean, take an hour and a half, run into the city, and give it
and
a try.
You know what? I know people who make barbecue sauce with beer.
Really?
That's it, yeah. I thought that was a thing, but because I know a lot of people who do that. So
interesting.
Yeah. So I've heard of these kinds of things. Root beer, beer, whiskey. This is the first time I've ever.
We're going to try something different next. Got some chicken from Famous Dave's.
We are talking with Jerry Huffman, and we have food in front of us. We have plates of food that you could get at a barbecue joint. I'm going to be eating some of it as we go along. 800-642-1234 for your favorite place. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. We have so much barbecue sitting in front of us right now that I didn't know where my headphones were. The radio stuff is kind of like being pushed back because we've got food at this 6 a.m. hour. We are talking barbecue with Jerry Huffman, who wrote a piece in TravelWisconsin.com about Wisconsin barbecue. You just heard from Smokey John about his barbecue place. Food Network, lots of other awards, really great food that we've been sampling here. And we're taking your calls, 800-642-1234, ideas at WPR.org, or you could tweet us at WPR Mornings. So Jerry, do you make a barbecue?
Badly compared to these guys. I think I just realized an answer that you asked me about earlier is like, what's different with the food? It's the personality that comes with it. John, how can you not like that guy?
Right,
I mean,
right.
He's a good guy. And you were trying the famous from the Oaks Golf Course in Cottage Grove, their fried potato salad. Like it?
That is
like
really
it?
Good potato salad. No, actually, I was just going to say to you, I got a plate of meat in front of you, and I really just want that potato salad again. So
it's the sides. It's the personality.
Mm-hmm.
Oaks is one of those restaurants I consider sort of a hidden little gem, because who thinks of going to a golf course unless you're golfing to eat?
That is true.
They do some great food. I met them about 2 years ago when I did a piece for tourism on best hamburgers.
Mm-hmm.
I gave them the much-applauded Jerry Huffman Best Hamburger in the State of Wisconsin Award
mm-hmm.
a couple years ago. But great food out there, barbecue from time to time. It's worth a stop if you're in the hood. But you got Famous Dave's.
Famous Dave's. Famous Dave's I've eaten before. It is a chain. It's good. Yeah. I think, I'm nibbling on some chicken here, some brisket. Yeah, I think it's good.
They do nice stuff.
They do nice stuff.
That's where you take the fam.
That's where you take the fam.
Yeah.
Yes. I agree with that. For newly minted vegetarians and vegans who are having a hard time pulling themselves away from their barbecue, are there any non-barbecue alternatives?
Yes. I'm sorry, nothing's coming to mind as a specific name yet, but most have vegetarian options on the menu as well.
Okay. And anything that we're missing here that we haven't talked about that people need to know?
Ooh, I got one amazing sample left. If you want to try that, you want to try that now?
All right. Yeah, food. We're eating food.
Excuse me.
And I'm taking pictures of all my food because, you know, that's what people do in this age.
Mesquite.
Okay, this is...
Here, this trade plates.
So what...
Easy.
Okay, the plate just so much fell. Let's just say that. Also, what strikes me about this plate that Jerry just handed me is it's very yellow. Like, I think of barbecue as being dark red. Barbecue, right? This is all yellow stuff. This is meat, steak that looks really great. A biscuit, taking a picture again. Mac and cheese that looks different from the very, very yellow mac and cheese.
Try the mac and cheese. I'll tell you what the surprise is.
Okay, I got to try the mac and cheese.
But this is from Devon Seafood and Steak in Milwaukee.
I thought I saw some seafood in
there. And
okay.
Mac and cheese is one of the favorite sides right now.
Mm.
That's lobster mac and cheese.
They put lobster in their mac and cheese, people. And yeah. where is this Devon Seafood?
In Milwaukee.
In Milwaukee.
Yep.
Okay, and that's the question about Milwaukee versus Madison again.
I mean, that's pretty amazing. And try the corn. They have an interesting take on corn.
So Jerry
right
comes
there.
On the air and he makes me eat as I'm talking into a microphone. Say something, Jerry.
I enjoy meeting mm-hmm. people. I enjoy trying other dishes. I mean, we had to get out the helicopter last night to get that dinner from Milwaukee over to here in time.
No way.
Well, okay, I'm exaggerating maybe a little bit.
So
it was a small
this?
Helicopter.
What is this? This is
That's a special cheese potato. It's got just a little hint of pepper in it.
Hmm.
Give it a shot. Then okay. you got to try the steak, though, because that's, I got to be honest, I love
the steak.
Steak
looks great.
Yeah.
Mm.
If you cut me.
Oh, yeah, that is really cool potato.
You cut me, I bleed ground round. I mean, I'm a beef eater
mm-hmm.
at heart. But their steaks are just exquisite. They
okay.
really are.
Now I'm going to chew the steak, and then I think we're going to go out here.
Parmesan herb roasted potatoes.
Parmesan herb roasted mm-hmm. potatoes.
Anthony Clark is the chef over there, and if this in Glendale, not Milwaukee, so, on Bayshore Drive in Glendale.
We have been talking to Jerry Huffman, who has been feeding me this morning, making me taste things as I have a microphone in my face, which is a very interesting experience here.
Somebody asked me last night, how do you eat on the radio? And
mm-hmm.
I said, well, slowly and with a sense of humor.
Slowly and very, very, very small bites here. Jerry is a freelance publicist and Emmy Award-winning journalist. He regularly contributes to TravelWisconsin.com. And you wrote about barbecues. That's why you're here.
I love writing about food. I've written about hamburgers, Sundays after dinner drinks. Food's a fun thing to write about.
Yeah,
it really
is. Thanks for being here. I appreciate
my pleasure.
You coming.
I
appreciate you taking all this time with this food. It's been really fun.
This is great. I love coming back here. I really do.
We are now heading to Wisconsin Life. We've talked a lot about homegrown barbecue. So now we're going to cleanse our palates with something sweet and invented right here in Wisconsin. Here's Steve Gotcher.
Wisconsin is the home to many firsts. The first blender, the first typewriter, and even malted milk was developed and introduced to the world right here in the Dairy State. Two Rivers is the home of the first ever ice cream sundae. Well, that last one is debated by some. Dean Robbins explains.
I like driving across Wisconsin to see legendary historical sites. I've planned whole trips around the Eau Claire baseball field where Hank Aaron got his start and the Janesville house where Abraham Lincoln spent the night. But every once in a while, I stumble across a bit of Wisconsin history I knew nothing about. That happened on a recent drive through the northeast part of the state when I pulled into Two Rivers. In Central Park, I noticed an official Wisconsin historical marker claiming it as the birthplace of the ice cream sundae. Coincidentally, my favorite dessert. Could such a major phenomenon have originated in this small town? According to the marker, a local man named George Hallauer walked into a soda fountain on 15th Street in 1881. He asked owner Edward Berner to top a dish of ice cream with chocolate sauce, a substance previously reserved for ice cream sodas. The new concoction caught on, and Berner began selling it for a nickel, but only on Sundays. Enter a 10-year-old girl who insisted on having a dish of ice cream with that stuff on top on a different day of the week. That was out of the question for Berner, until the girl charmingly suggested that they pretend it was Sunday. That opened the floodgates, with the shopkeeper offering the dish every day in many flavors. The unusual spelling of Sunday started when a salesman placed an order for Berner's canoe-shaped dishes with his glassware company. He requested Sunday dishes with an E at the end rather than a Y, and the rest is history. Or so says the state of Wisconsin. Is this amazing story for real? Standing there in Central Park, I searched for Ice Cream Sunday Origin on my phone. Sure enough, Two Rivers has rivals to the claim. The most aggressive challenger is Ithaca, New York, which points to a 19th century newspaper ad for a locally served sundae. In a New York Times article on the dispute, Ithaca's mayor sneered at Two Rivers, saying, "We have the historical documents, and they don't." Two Rivers refused to take that lying down. The city passed a resolution demanding that Ithaca cease and desist with its Sunday slanders. Residents also deluged Ithaca's mayor with postcards picturing the Wisconsin historical marker. On matters of milk fat, Ithaca surely learned that you crossed the dairy state at your peril. So what's the truth? To gather crucial evidence, I strolled to the Two Rivers Visitor Center in an 1850s inn. You can bet the complex houses a soda fountain, named after local hero Edward Berner. Purely for the sake of historical research, I ordered an ice cream sundae. Was it a descendant of the world's first sundae, served here in 1881? Sorry, Ithaca, but I have no documentation. All I'll say is that, with its thick chocolate sauce, overflowing whipped cream, and juicy cherry, the dish made me a believer.
Dean Robbins is a journalist and author based in Madison. He's won state and national awards for arts, features, and news stories, and has contributed to magazines and newspapers around the country. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television, in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook. I'm Steve Gotcher.
So I love the music they played under that. I have to find out what it is. Wisconsin Life is part of our weekly edition of Wisconsin Weekend here on the morning show. What's happening in your part of the state that could reach all corners of Wisconsin? Send your ideas for Wisconsin Weekend to mornings@WPR.org. That's mornings@WPR.org. And we're going to explore your tip for a Wisconsin Weekend program. I'm Carrie Kaufman. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network.